It's a beautiful Wednesday evening. You're warmly welcome. This is Strong and Sassy here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Enimoa Enim Ado. Join us on Facebook Live. You definitely want to see our faces. It will light up your life, I promise. But we're live and interactive, Facebook and other places as well. So tonight we're having a conversation about starting again after toxic relationships. Aram and Ariel, who are both very well known to the show, are joining us here tonight. Ariel is a wellness coach, and Aram is the one who has been training and beating all the boys at the gym.
You promised that you're not going to do
that
this.
We go to. So, you know, Aram and I go to the same gym.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Aram does not behave herself at the gym at all.
Aram, why do you do that?
Yeah, she's been beating the boys
there.
I
think you're being reported to me, so I might as well do the judging
of the, yeah.
So why haven't you been behaving well at the gym?
What is your definition of not behaving?
You know, everybody who doesn't behave will ask for definition.
Exactly. Because it's a very subjective.
Yo, madam. French speaking, madam. Anyways, I promised I'll be myself. So the fear of starting over after a toxic relationship. Ariel, let me start with you.
Yes, ma'am.
You see that these days, we call a lot of things. Like if you are dating somebody and the person doesn't like you again, no, he's toxic. Like, dude,
this is Strong and Sassy.
On Pelbium, it's very different from toxic, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so let's define so that you won't be listening to us and think that we are talking about you. You know what I mean? And then, so that also, if you're listening to us and you have come out of a toxic relationship, then you can identify,
yeah,
because sometimes a lot of victims don't actually know.
No, it is a toxic relationship,
yeah. So, yeah. Would you kind of just give us an idea of what a toxic relationship, not the whole book, just an idea.
Okay, an idea of what a toxic relationship is: a relationship where generally you feel demeaned all the time.
Okay.
You are not supported.
That's interesting.
You are always misunderstood. So your reality is always distorted to yourself because you are not made to believe what you are saying, and so your reality is always sort of, am I really speaking the truth? So you are always misunderstood. You are demeaned. You don't feel supported. And sometimes you feel like you're always being attacked. There's always that kind of attack on you, that you're always on edge, that what's going to be the next thing I'll do, that this thing is going to happen. This means that it has gone on for a while and you kind of expect that something is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of the time, you're always unhappy in this relationship.
Right.
Anytime you leave this person, you feel drained. Anytime you're around this person, you feel drained. If it's a marriage, sometimes when he's in the hall, you want to go to the bedroom. When he's in the bedroom, you want to come to the hall. So there's this kind of, you try to isolate yourself. You're always feeling on edge around the person. This is what I'll call a toxic relationship. Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the description. But my fear with this description is that somebody who has unresolved trauma,
yeah,
can create a world which,
yeah,
fits what you
what
have
I've
described.
Yeah.
But they're not actually in a toxic
relationship.
It's all,
yeah,
about their own perception and
their own issues. Yeah.
You know, so it becomes a bit difficult to really tell.
But again, somebody who is behaving like that might have also picked it from another toxic relationship.
And by that, we don't mean a
with a man. No,
not necessarily. From, yeah.
Yes, but it has been. I mean, when we say relationship, not just a man and a woman. A relationship can be with even your sibling, mm-hmm, even in the boardroom, even in the corporate world. There are toxic relationships happening. So somebody who behaves like you describe might have gone through some toxic relationship and had fully not done the work to come out of the effect of being in a toxic relationship.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
And I also want to say that, I mean, I love her definition, and like she said, I'm glad that we're not, obviously, maybe we will tailor this conversation to be like in relationship man,
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But then again, like, there are people who are in toxic relationship with their female friends.
Yeah.
Like, you just have that friend who has so much drama going on every time. By the time you finish having a conversation with them, you're like,
tired.
What is this? Like, so there is that toxic girlfriend relationship. Yeah. And I mean, I was telling you before the show started that I'm quite nervous about this conversation. Which,
why?
I don't know, but I mean, like, and my relationship wasn't toxic. It wasn't the relationship. It was the, I had a toxic work relationship, which she also mentioned that can be part. But then I'm looking forward to see how this conversation goes tonight.
You are supposed to be sharing as well.
I will be sharing. Maybe it's the sharing that's making me nervous, but like, let's see how it goes. I will try to be on my best behavior tonight.
You don't have to be. I mean, I don't think that Strong and Sassy is a space where we have to be on our best. Otherwise, I'm the wrong host for the show.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so I mean, definitely not. But for you, what is a toxic relationship?
You know?
Love relationship.
Oh my God. And by Ariel's definition, right, I don't even think that I have been in a toxic, like, relationship. Because you know me in real life, like, I stay on business when it comes to my relationship. So
yeah, before, we know you.
it will not get too toxic. But one thing I also have to say about, like, a toxic situation, and sometimes it doesn't have to be the entire relationship. It will also be certain situations. So sometimes the way that people handle conflict can be toxic.
Yeah.
So that is something that is the, so I would go about it in that way, that sometimes handling of conflict can be toxic in a relationship. So it doesn't have to be the relationship entirely. So if you're listening to us and you may say, okay, maybe the whole relationship, but how do you handle conflict?
Yeah.
How do you handle tough conversation? There are some people who they don't like to have tough conversations. So the moment you bring it up, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this, and it's da, 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 da. Like, it's about us. If we can't have a conversation about something that concerns us, who else am I supposed to have the conversation with? So that behavior, or you can be displaying a toxic behavior in a relationship, but the entire relationship will not be toxic.
Okay, so again, I completely get that. Again, my fear with the use of the word toxic is that sometimes people just don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe you meet someone, you're dating them. They've never really been in a relationship with, let's say, somebody like Aram.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, you're coming to them with what are our short-term goals, what are our long-term goals, what are you thinking for this? And they are just completely baba-hazed by everything that you're saying, so they don't know how to react. So maybe they may shut down.
Yeah,
true.
You know, or maybe that's not toxic.
No, it's not.
Aha.
Yeah.
So how do you identify that a behavior is toxic?
Okay. Good question. First,
I know I'm like that.
First, communication.
Sorry, no.
When your communication is always toxic, you are not heard. Anytime you speak, you're gaslighted. Everything you say is not of just in fact. So your communication is always one-sided. You are never heard. You can't speak your mind. Anything you say, you know, when somebody plays a lot of sarcasm on every communication that comes out of your mouth, it's quite toxic. And so the first thing to start looking out for is how your communication goes. Do you feel like I can speak my truth? I can share my feelings and not feel fear about the person I'm going to talk to? So if your communications is very, very one-sided, where you are always shut down, you can't say anything, what do you think, you know, that's always that kind of demeaning in conversation, it is a sign of a toxic relationship. The next one is lack of support. Lack of support is, it can come to things home, it can come to your emotional needs, it can come to even simple kindness, the way the person speaks to you. It's part of support. So if you don't feel supported in the relationship, it's like you are in the relationship, but you are on your own. Or you are always the one working the relationship to stand. You are the one always keeping it in balance. The other person can do whatever they like. They don't apologize. They don't say please. They don't say thank you. But you are always like the one who is trying to get this thing to work. It means you are not being supported emotionally and also psychologically in the relationship. That is also something you can say it's toxic. The next thing I have known to happen a lot in toxic relationship is controlling. Controlling behavior.
Who are you with?
Exactly. Controlling behavior.
Wait, before you continue, control is a very dicey thing. Because So is control always toxic? Or, and I'm asking this because sometimes control is coming from a place of anxiety.
Or care.
Mm-hmm.
Or concern.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes control is coming from a place of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is the motive for the behavior important, yeah, or is it just the behavior that we're considering?
The motive and the behavior together is what we are considering. If you're controlling someone out of fear, it depends. Are you the one afraid or the one who is going through the thing who is afraid?
No, you are. I mean, you're controlling someone because of...
Because you are afraid. Then straight away it's toxic because you are going to prevent the person from doing what they know very well they are capable of doing.
Okay, so...
Anymore.
No. It's, you see... You know how we are as Ghanaians. When we hear something, no, we are running with it.
So I know.
Like, no.
I get it. And I get where you're coming with the toxic thing because it's become such a basic word as gaslighting.
Yeah, yeah.
You are trying to say something like, you are gaslighting me. Like, it's not even that serious.
Like, you're and dumb. You're stupid. What you're saying is so stupid. It's not even gaslighting. Like, they're walking away Jimmy Carter, the giant. Like, stop. It's not even gaslighting.
Yeah. That is why I always encourage people, you need to actually study some of these things to understand it. When you do, then you'll be able to tell, what am I dealing with? And sometimes you need to take your time. Don't jump to conclusion.
Don't jump to label.
Yeah, I mean, because sometimes a behavior is part of somebody's temperament.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
And can be solved by
very little. Because sometimes certain behaviors are people's temperaments and not necessarily toxic. But maybe because you are also a very different, mind-body constitution, you also are very different from them. It may feel like it's taking your space or it's becoming energy draining for you.
So point number one, I think, is just because someone is different from you
doesn't mean they are toxic. No.
Yeah.
That's why you need to be understanding first.
And take your time before you diagnose
people as toxic or whatever. Yeah.
And the reason I'm so concerned about this is because I know people who... So I have a friend who has abandonment issues because his mom died when he was young.
Okay.
And then his father left him and he was tossed from one uncle to auntie to uncle to auntie. Mm. So he generally has like separation anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and so I remember he was telling me when he and his wife first got together, she used to see him as controlling because he was always like, oh, where are you? Where are this? And so one day she sat down with him. She had a conversation. He opened up and expressed how he felt. Mm. And she found out that just regular checking in with him in the course of the day completely healed him to the point where now he could actually go 6-7 hours without hearing from her. And he himself could compute, you know, that, okay, she must be at work. Okay, she's going to pick the kids. She's going to. Yeah. So sometimes I feel like relationships are a space for healing.
It
and
is.
We come with so much
baggage.
We need
baggage. To create space
so
for people.
So before you suddenly just say someone is toxic, you know, kind
you
of.
You need to be.
And the first way to resolve this issue is when it happens, because toxic takes time. And then you can't just say from one incident that someone is toxic or someone is gaslighting or someone is a narcissist.
Yeah. So gaslighting is really worrying.
So a narcissist, everybody's a narcissist. Like,
no.
And I have this thing that I tell a friend of mine whenever a relationship issue comes up. I ask her, is this a you problem or a he problem?
Or the two of you.
Because sometimes it's your perspective.
Yeah.
So when the issue happens, try and seek understanding.
Of yourself first.
So you would ask yourself, why do I feel this way about this?
And that's my number one question.
That is self-awareness.
Like, I'm always like, yo, Nims, like, what's going on with you? Why are you acting out?
Yeah.
Why did you snap?
Yeah.
Why did you? Sometimes it's just because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I don't do hunger. Like, I am very cranky when I'm hungry.
I don't do lateness.
I just go
off myself when somebody is late or when I have to start something at a particular time and it doesn't go. I just go off.
And then there's really little behaviors. Like, for example, I would never have an emotional conversation in the evening when I'm tired because everything is so heightened.
Yeah.
And you know how we were taught that never go to bed angry.
Yeah.
But sometimes you should just go to bed
and sleep and let it go in the sleep.
In the morning, you're like, you know what? This was actually not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I think that before we diagnose something as toxic, is really take an in-depth look at
yourself. In-depth look. You
so
can't
you take
just
the in-depth look of yourself when you've checked in and be honest with yourself. Check in with yourself and see that, is this a me problem?
Yeah.
Now, when you realize that this is not a me problem, okay. I realize that when I want to have conversations with you, your first reaction is push it off or sweep it under the carpet. Why?
I like to have, you know, when you're dealing with men, this is what I've learned. This is free advice. Mm. I record thing, not record with the phone, like write pen and paper.
Oh, okay.
So I try to have a conversation Monday, you push it away. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, you push it away. Because when you are having that conversation, then they'll say, me
never.
Oh, you are. That is how somebody got blocked in real life and they were mad about it. I was trying to have a conversation with you and you were doing onlooking. After I blocked you, you're mad. Why are you mad?
So is this show that you used to come and do?
I was trying to talk to you, but you weren't trying to talk to me. So you are blocked.
Wow.
Okay.
I see.
Okay. And this is not toxic behavior.
No, you're not going to define it.
But moving on, if you're dealing with a toxic person, you should definitely have evidence.
Yes.
It really makes the conversation. So Monday at 7:54, this is what you did.
Okay.
These were your words.
Yeah.
Tuesday this, Wednesday that, last week this, last week that. Mm-hmm. And then you force them to confront it.
Yeah.
Because the automatic go-to in a relationship most of the time is a man just saying that,
deny,
it didn't happen. Yes.
It's like they can't remember things.
Yeah.
So I've learned also now, like at first, I didn't like having serious conversations on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like the tone. But the WhatsApp serious conversation.
Screenshot,
because
baby.
You can even save it. Yeah.
Screenshot.
Benefits of self-care. Benefits of WhatsApp.
Benefits of WhatsApp. Evidence.
Evidence is everything. Because you can't. You said this. You can't unsay what you said.
Me. Yeah. I never said that.
Yeah.
I did not.
So
what was the question?
We were talking about signs of toxic.
And how behavior. We needed to differentiate it from normal behavior.
Behavior.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're
so
saying,
where should we go now?
Anymore?
I'm just kidding.
Where should we go now? Let's
I'm
close the
kidding.
Show.
So how do we move on? So now you realize that you may be or may not be in a toxic relationship. What should you do?
I feel like we really need to identify. So I want more strong points on
what it
toxic.
Is. Okay.
Avoidance, I would say, of top conversation can be toxic. But then again, you see, a response, how a person responds to an issue may be toxic, but they may not be toxic as a person.
Yeah.
So like we were saying, note that somebody's behavior may be toxic, but that doesn't make them a toxic person per se. So like we said, introspect, then ask why. If and don't just do it like a one-time thing. At least try twice or three times before, because it's definitely going to be different in a marriage than in a relationship. You're not just going to be like, oh, every time I want to talk to you, don't talk, so I'm not doing it again. That's not how it works. We're growing. Anyway, why are you doing like that?
No, I'm not doing anything.
With your eyes. So for me, that would be like one of my salient points. And then people, both men and women, should also find out, like, when your partner is coming to you with something, try. You know how people just shut down, like, war, like, I don't want to do. How are we going to progress?
Okay, so the conversation is actually about moving
forward.
Mm-hmm. After a toxic relationship. So let's say you've identified your toxic relationship. You've decided that this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you heal from the apology you never got? Basically.
You give yourself the apology.
Yeah.
That's the first part. Give yourself an apology you were not giving. And, I mean, being in a toxic relationship.
But Ariel, I have a question. So where are you going after the show?
Oh, really? You and Adam Pro. Look, you let me speak to you, you please stop.
Listen, me, I always saw you guys. So if you can, you better go to Facebook because the view there is.
Talk to your madam.
I know, I'm looking as well. I'm wondering. I know we have.
I'm answering a question. I'm going to lose my thought of.
Yeah, right now, what matters to us is what we are seeing. Like,
oh, look,
where are you going?
What have I done? Look at me. What have I done?
It's okay.
We're all wearing. Look. Is it not the same thing?
Where?
I can't talk anymore.
You can't talk.
Stop. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Adam did the same thing
you
to me.
You said heal yourself.
This is not fair, please.
We are sorry.
It's not fair.
Again, nah, sorry. So yes, please heal your head.
Okay, I wasn't saying healing.
Is forgive. Write a letter.
No,
apology.
I forgot the apology, apology that you did.
Give yourself an apology. You were not giving. I mean, but the whole thing with a toxic relationship is that if you've been in a toxic relationship for more than a year, 2, 3 years, getting over it doesn't come easy.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we call trauma bonding.
Yeah.
Why you stayed in that long becomes something that means you were bonded to the environment.
Yeah.
You know, as people, we get used to patterns.
Yeah.
And so you get used to that thing. So much so that when you even leave it, it's like it doesn't feel normal.
Can I tell you something?
Please do.
So a few years ago, I was praying and I told God that I want like a really calm, peaceful, loving relationship.
Yeah.
And I legit heard God ask me, are you ready for peace? Like, you're praying for peace, but you're so used to drama.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That if I actually gave you peace, you probably wouldn't handle it.
Exactly.
You'd probably be, this is too quiet. Exactly. Let me stay up some drama.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll be looking for drama.
So then I had to look in myself and realize, oh, yeah. If I'm not, at that time, I'm not like that anymore.
Yeah.
But at that time, if I'm not fighting and causing some drama, somebody's crying, there's a whole cantata going on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the relationship is not passionate and it's not loving.
Yeah.
God. Like people who say, oh, you are not, you don't love someone if you are not jealous. Like, who has energy today to come and be doing, where are you, who are you with, who are you talking to? That's too much drama.
And you have to fake the jealousy just so that, you know, it's a bit.
I don't have, and like, for me, I can be very nonchalant about certain things. I remember there was a time my ex dropped me off at something, and it was with a group of male friends of mine. And so my
you've
friend...
You've probably beaten. Sorry, never mind.
So my friend was like, so he's going. I said, yes. So he knows you. I'm like, yeah. He's like, so you don't care. I said, I don't know where he's going. Like, I'm not... We've spent the time we need to spend together. Now we have things we have to do. So he's going to go do what he's going to go do. And I'm... As you can see, I'm doing what I want to do. So, like, I may not be that, like, clingy, too much person. Even for someone who... quality time is my love language. For me, quality time means different things. When we spoke about that, being present in the moment, it can be an hour. Once I have that hour
connection
that I need,
yeah,
I'm fixed. I'm good to go. I'm not the person you want to be calling me morning, afternoon, evening. Have you eaten? Why? Why?
Have I just sent food. Don't ask me if I've eaten. I'm always hungry. Just send food.
Like, send some food. But don't be asking me, have you eaten? And then, you know, some people will think that, oh, you haven't asked them that, oh, have you eaten, so you don't care about them. Brother, do you want to eat or not?
When you're not eating before you... He's going to eat.
Before you met me. If that's what you're looking for in terms of, like, me caring for you, you're not going to get it. So back to Ariel's situation about giving yourself that apology that you need. That's one thing.
That was the answer to that.
We digress, so we are back.
We?
Yes, we.
Okay.
Mm. I'm listening to you.
It's you.
You're doing your thing. I'm listening.
I'm like, well, right now the show, what was the topic?
You two are discussing. No, so we're talking about the fact that if it's after a year, if you stay in a toxic relationship for more than 2 years, 3 years, there will be a trauma bonding.
Definitely.
There'll be certain things that you're so used to, though they are not healthy.
That's your normal.
It's become your normal.
Yeah.
So that is a part you need to work on before you can even feel ready to move on.
Yeah.
Yes. So you need to get your balance again.
Yeah.
Totally disconnected from those small drama, fear, distrust. I mean, you have trust issues.
Do you have guilt issues? Where people say that they didn't realize they were in a bad relationship until they were in a good relationship.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
that's what you're saying.
And because if you go straight into even a good relationship after being in a toxic one for a long time,
you don't know what to
you
do.
You sabotage the whole relationship.
You don't know what to do.
I saw a meme.
You sabotage it. Yeah.
And the person sends her text like, "Oh, how are you? Have you eaten?" She's like, "Why are you asking me if I've eaten?"
It's on TikTok. Like, good night. Good night. Love you. Like, why should I go to sleep now? Like,
oh my god.
Because it's just, it's the toxicity.
Yeah.
So you don't know what goodness
is. Yes, what goodness is. You can, it will be difficult to really identify when the person is really truly loving you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so used to all those petty things that sometimes you're looking for them to be normal and it's not coming anymore.
Yeah.
So you need to give yourself time. Find all the things that you're still thinking about in that relationship that you think it should happen in your day-to-day life, you know? And once you are able to identify those trauma bonding and you're able to deal with them, it's easier with a therapist, yes.
A life coach.
Yes, yes.
Because you yourself sometimes
you can't identify them.
Yeah.
You need a very deep conversation to be able to identify some of the
deep, knowledgeable conversation.
Yes.
Because sometimes we have deep conversations that don't have sense.
Exactly.
You're talking to somebody about deep things and they're giving you advice that's completely off course because they don't know what they're
saying.
About.
Yes.
And because you don't know what you're talking about, too. The two of you are having a conversation about
anymore. Are you talking about somebody?
Yeah, she's definitely talking about somebody.
I'm not.
You know, she is because we've had this conversation, but we're not going to talk about this on radio. But then, I mean, just like you were saying, like, I love the fact that the apology that you didn't get, because most people get hung up on closure.
Mm-mm.
And for me, I always say
If it's closed, it's closed. Who should come and give you closure again? It's closed, it's closed.
And as you can see, I don't wear no weave, so I don't know nothing about closure.
No, I don't do. I don't need
we
closure.
We don't do closure.
No. I don't do it too. I give myself closure. It's closed. I'm gone. I don't need any thesis and
because
all
the
that.
Because the thing about closure is that you're giving the power to someone else.
Yeah.
To be able to say this season is over. Why can't you determine, okay, this season for me is over. I am done. And I'm giving myself the closure. Because apparently men don't need closure.
No, they don't.
Who?
They don't.
I mean, closure for what? And you see, sometimes some people's definition of closure is, oh, let's have that one last conversation. Let's have that last thing to feel like we're closing the chapter.
And when you keep saying I need closure, it means you haven't really, you're not really ready to let it go or move on.
Yeah,
that's
because
what happens.
You're
still thinking that in that conversation you can convince him or he will convince you to do it again.
Yeah.
90% of the time when people say I haven't gotten closure, I'm waiting for closure, it's because they are not ready to do the moving on. So they are thinking that it's going to happen again. Things will connect again in the conversation. The man will say, or he will say, I'm sorry, or she will say, I'm sorry, let's do it again. Closure, if it's ended, it's ended. There's no need for another.
And I mean, to add to what Errol was saying about, so the apology thing, and then obviously you don't wait for closure. The big thing for me, and that has been personal, is therapy or talking to someone. Because for me, my personal situation, when I went to therapy or saw a counselor, I spoke to a professional after my breakup, was I needed to unpack what had happened, because it's been 3 years and we were like great friends. When the relationship ended, I was like, I don't understand
why it ended.
Why didn't this work? It was such a big question that hung, and I had this deep sense that if I don't get to the bottom of this and fix it and have an understanding of myself, it would happen again. And one thing that I always tell people, and that is the terrible decision, is to jump from one relationship to another.
Mm. Yeah.
Because for the longest time, I was those people who, like, you start dating someone, they're doing something, like, your first thought is, I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. Like, you're going to do something. I'm so convinced that you're going to do something to destroy this. And so my bag is already at the door. Once the shoe drops,
I'm out.
That can be a response to being in a toxic relationship or in a relationship where certain things have been toxic for some time. But what going to therapy did for me is equip me with the tools
I need
so that, yes, I'm with someone new and they're doing something. When something happens, my first instinct is not to run. It's like, is this a reality? Is this fact? Or are these my feelings?
Am I just creating something?
Yeah. Am I just creating all
Am I hungry? Yeah. Am I sleeping?
Have I eating? Okay.
Is this something ice cream can fix?
Like chocolate? I think I'm craving chocolate this evening.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Girls, come back to the conversation.
This evening I have to eat chocolate.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, just
wow.
No, this is the second time this thing is happening to me.
What?
I usually don't crave food. I crave locations, but second time I'm craving chocolate. This is serious, so.
So confused.
Yeah, you people did your own. I'm doing my own now.
So as I was was saying before the chocolate came about.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Yes, it's important.
What are your tips for picking a good therapist?
Follow him or her, like if they have a page or whatever. See if that's there's a connection over there.
If they walk their talk.
If they walk their talk. That was very key for me. And I always vividly remember my first session, right? He said, do you want to sit on the chair? I said, no, I want to sit on the floor.
Okay, fair enough.
And like, it was that room that he gave me to be myself.
Yourself, yeah.
So my session was on the floor and I had a mug, like a cup of tea, and that was how the session
I can
went.
Only have serious emotional conversations when I'm sitting on the floor.
Yeah, I need to be comfortable. And yeah, it was, and I will never forget the question of where we were having a conversation and I was like, oh, and my ex, he wasn't giving like 100 and I was giving. I said, but what if what he was giving, that was his 100?
His 100.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we are all up in our heads.
Yeah,
like
in your head.
The person unmet expectations. But sometimes people have expectations of their partners that they have not communicated to them.
It's not even that. So this is something I said in my podcast last week, but that's just me dropping that there's a podcast.
Every time.
The Secret Life of Adults. You want to go and watch it?
I think I heard someone talking about it. I haven't listened yet.
You should. It's called The Secret Lives of Adults.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and everybody was calling me, asking me if I've lost my mind. I haven't.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then it's that good.
It's, well, depends on how you look at it. Anyway.
It's that good.
Mm-hmm. So, therapists. Mm-hmm. My first experience with a therapist puts me off for about, wow, I'm old enough. I can actually say like 15 years.
Oh, okay.
About a very long time. Because I went into this woman's office. It was at a hospital. So broken, so hurt. And the first thing she did was lay it all on me. So the first thing was like, hi, hello, okay. So write down what you did to contribute to
the problem. That wasn't terrible.
I was like, ease me into this.
No, I was like, you know, I need to pee.
And you know,
I walked out and I never went back.
Wow. That was so...
No, and adding to Iram's mention about needing a therapist, it's so important. Because what we do is when you're talking to friends, family, blah, 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 it's problem-oriented. Yeah. The conversation is still about the problem.
That, it's not even that area. When you're talking to friends and family, unless they have the professional knowledge, it is that, opinion-based.
Yes.
And
yes.
experience-based.
Yes. Yes.
So then I'm telling you what I know from my experience.
Exactly.
Because I don't have the knowledge to be able to look at your situation objectively.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
counsel you
and
in
counsel
a way
you and
that is research based and data proven and all of that.
That was where I was going. So you can share the problem. They will see the problem. You talk about the problem. Their solutions will be from their perspective. Now they may not be able to give you tools to help you to navigate the situation you are going through. So you leave them and your head is full of the same thing you're going.
That's why I don't take advice from my girlfriends about men.
But when you talk to a therapist or a coach or somebody, they are able to let you first bring out the things.
My
some of the
is calling.
Hey. Wow.
I'm sorry.
They help you to be able to first unpack, like you said, to unpack.
Some of the
things you can't tell even the friends and family you are talking to. With your therapist or your coach, you are able to unpack and say it.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, I'll let you know this is a safe space.
Yeah.
I don't know you. I don't know your friend. I don't know your mother. I don't know your father. If you want to insult, insult. You want to scream, scream. If you want to, whatever you feel like doing that you've been holding on, you are able to do it there. And it helps you to feel okay. Now, with that out of your chest, you're able to listen to the guide or the suggestions the therapist to give you and the tools they are going to give you. Now, they will never let you feel like it's your fault, nor is the fault of the other person.
That is
nobody's fault. It is a situation that has happened. How do you come out of it?
Sometimes it's
difficult. But that's not what the therapist is looking for. You will realize, you will come to start seeing what you did to contribute to it. And helping you to take responsibility for your actions is also one of the best things a therapist can do for you.
Absolutely.
If you don't take responsibility, you contributed some way, somehow.
Yeah.
Nothing comes uninvited.
Mm-hmm.
You nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, she can't say
Well,
that.
I didn't know what she was going to say.
Okay.
Can I say something? I think I'll be done very good. I think the most amazing therapist.
Mm-hmm.
for people like us that are very too known, that's when we go into therapist's office. We feel like we are rather going to counsel them and tell them how they don't know what they are doing. Mm-hmm. Is the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I kid you not.
Yeah. Because he's very patient.
Apart from the fact that he's very patient, he's very insightful.
Yeah.
Because even when you're talking to another human, you can only tell them the things you remember. But sometimes the trauma is coming from things that you have blocked out and you don't remember.
Yeah.
And so you find that when you're open, oh my God, when you're open to, like, you know, really just praying or really listening to the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
there are certain prompts about certain things in your life
that will come up. That will come up.
Okay, this is why that. And I think that's one of my favorite things about about God is, you know, how knowledgeable he is.
But then who else knows you better than the one who created you?
Well, yeah, and sees everything. I don't like the idea that he sees everything and knows everything.
Yeah.
So it's like, God, can you turn your eyes to the left?
Don't look at this one.
Don't look. God, you want God to do on looking for you. I was like, I see you.
I mean, so if I'm saying this because therapy is expensive.
Yeah,
in God.
But so, Jesus is free.
But Jesus is free. You know. Yeah. So I mean, like joke. Seriously. Yeah. If you're feeling, you know, kind of in yourself, you know, take time out
and
open up. Open
and
up.
Yeah. Even in that regard, right? I remember. I mean, as a Christian.
Why did you hesitate? Because we won't believe that you are.
That's not the point anymore.
I'm starting a church.
So before
me
I
too.
Went
Rebels Association of Jesus, like people who are not accepted in regular churches.
I know. And like
I think I'll be your first member.
Before I went to like did the whole therapy thing, and I remember I was praying because we're just stuck in the relationship, like when we're going forward, we're not going back, we're just in this loop, right? And I was praying, I was, God, what do I do? It's like, you need to get out of this. I'm like, what? Are you serious?
I like him.
He's like, no, I am not going to fix this. This
get
is a mess.
Out.
Get out.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's like, no.
I've heard that a few times too.
Yeah.
And so I knew. And you see, I mean, if we as people, or like how I like to call it, as children of God, God is interested in every aspect of our lives, especially our relationship. And so if you think that you're going to start your own thing and come and let God, God doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
God doesn't bless messes. So you are setting yourself up if you start something
messily,
and you think that, oh, he's going to fix it. No, you need to come out or you stay in the mess and suffer the consequences of being in the mess.
Yeah. One of the things that really stood up to me when I was going through my transformation was being honest with yourself is one of the most difficult things one can do. So a lot of times we are not being honest with ourselves.
That is why.
That is why
what? What is your problem? This is That is why people tell me that's like me. I'm too no. That is why when somebody comes to criticize me, I'm looking at them like, do you think that you are really telling me something I don't know?
Yeah, I know myself.
So, like, I come across as like somebody who doesn't take criticism. Okay. But if you are not able to tell me something that I don't know, what you're telling me it doesn't help me. Like, you're telling me what I know.
Yeah.
Or telling me something that is not even true. Because that's your opinion of
me. You see the second level of tuna.
Like, you're telling me. And I had that issue with the person. The person came in like, you're this, you're that. I was just looking at them. And then later, I'm sure they went to sit somewhere and thought about it and came back. And I'm like, see, this would have affected me if I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
I've paid good money. I deal with the Holy Spirit, and I pay good money to see someone to help me dissect. Yeah, so you can't tell me nothing.
You can't, like, you really can't.
You really can't.
We need to be honest with ourselves, to look at ourselves and be truthful to ourselves of our own shortcomings, our own weaknesses, and embrace it.
Yeah.
Until then, you'll be lying to yourself forever and ever and ever. And you always not take responsibility for anything. You're always, I didn't do anything. I never did
that. But what did you do to contribute to your last year? Me? Nothing.
Really? That's not possible.
When anybody asks me, so what did you do to contribute to this? My answer is usually everything.
Yeah.
Because I messed it up from the beginning by choosing this person. So it is my fault.
Right?
Before you even started. Say they did something.
I did.
Point number one.
I chose the person.
That is the point at which I messed up. So, like,
you know?
Because if I hadn't, then who they are wouldn't have mattered.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, that's
where you started from. Yeah. It does.
And
it releases you of, I mean, when you are honest with yourself, you are able to become more introspective too.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you are able to move forward with some experience or lesson from what happened.
Yeah,
without that, you don't pick any lessons. So you keep on doing the same thing.
Exactly. Like if you like the girls, same thing. You can't tell yourself, I like girls.
You know,
I'm very foolish and you know, like girls, then you're always going to mess up because you need to be aware of the things that you're not like really good at, so that you don't. So, right now, what topic are we talking about?
And another thing I have to say about even just coming
your
out
producer
of the
will, your producer will give you a query
coming out of the toxic situation is when you do it the right way, like we're saying, give yourself the apology, do therapy, and all these things. You also extend grace to people, you are much nicer. Or much more sensible, and you move differently.
So I feel like that's a
new
phrase, which I've come to love.
Extending
like giving
grace.
Give grace to yourself. Like, give grace.
Extend grace to
extend
yourself.
Extend grace.
And
like, give
other
grace.
People.
I think it's from like sisters, or was even one of those.
Yeah,
you know,
I didn't pick it from there, but
where did you pick it from?
I can't remember, but I wasn't
it's
from
a thing
sisters.
Now, you know,
it
give
is
grace.
A thing.
Give grace to yourself.
I think it's all these reels we watch on Instagram, to be honest.
Which, yeah, but then I mean,
now
God
social media give us all these terms here and there.
And I feel like it's even from the Bible, because God gives us so much grace.
So much grace.
Of course, the word grace is from the Bible.
And give ourselves.
Yeah.
It sounds so romantic.
And for me, if you want to give yourself grace, you can't give yourself grace if you don't tap into gratitude.
Mm.
Grace flows through gratitude. If you are not in gratitude,
your
you can't.
Gratitude is the pipe.
It's exactly where the grace will flow through.
Yeah.
So if you want to give yourself grace, start looking at what is going, what can I be grateful for here?
Yeah.
And from there, you can feel all the grace coming to you.
Sometimes I don't need gratitude to give myself. I just give myself the
of
grace.
Of course. Like,
if you don't give yourself grace, we'll give you grace.
This is where we are. We have given ourselves
but that
grace.
Is gratitude in itself. By accepting that, this is where
God,
we are.
Thank you for
some mornings, some mornings I'm at the gym. I know that when I close, I am going to buy both floats and cocoa with sugar milk and granules. Wallahi. Like, I give myself the grace. When I get there, the woman will be like, oh, madam. And no one, but I say, yesterday I was a disciplined person.
Today, you're giving yourself grace. You are swelling
that
people.
That is not how grace works.
Anyway, you are swelling people.
Anyway, that's not how the grace
is too short. Why? Why?
Balance.
Why do you
that's
want to
all. Yesterday you didn't go. Today you are there. Balance.
Balance.
Yeah.
The days
balance.
That we buy the cocoa is brutal.
Hey, this cocoa, you have to buy some for me.
Oh, Charlie.
Milk, and what?
Buffalo.
She.
Bedo. After that, you know
you
that.
I'll report you to settle.
After that, you know that from the morning till 12, productivity is zero.
Why?
Zero. You have taken the day off. You start. That's what giving grace. Anyway, toxic relationships. So, wow.
Wow. What are the people saying? The people on the internet and in the WhatsApp, what are they saying?
TT says, good evening. Interesting topic, but did I hear men don't need closure? We usually don't say, but when a man is done, is done.
It's only selfish
who wants to. Titi, the closure and what you said, no.
It's only selfish who wants to take advantage.
Taxpayer says, in addition, talk about toxic environments. That's a killer too. I happened to witness some ladies mock and victimize another lady because she was slim and had no big breasts and butts at Legon campus because it was that open for something. The victim was shy, embarrassed, and started to, very unfortunate. How do we get here as a people? Yeah. Kwame Jantua, does the discussion have... Okay, this question. Does a discussion have to be only on toxic relationships? And the word toxic can be relative. Yeah, the discussion is on toxic relationships. It doesn't have to be, but that's what we chose it to be today. So I guess maybe next week will be something different. So, okay, final words. It's okay. You people should do and go.
It's time for us to do and go.
Yeah, start doing.
Final
because
word.
You can talk for 4 minutes. I'm
not talking 4 minutes anymore. It's not yet time.
Okay.
You don't talk.
Eva, what were you going to say?
I was
going to
say that.
Your producer will beat you.
Today. Like we're discussing today, a person's response can be toxic. Their behavior can be toxic. That doesn't make the whole relationship toxic. So let's be circumspect in how we just label people and things as toxic.
And I wanted to ask about this. Sometimes in a relationship, are we toxic?
Yes.
Because, you know, it's very easy we to have point our the finger own, and say that, oh, yes. you are toxic. The relationship. Yeah. But actually, it's like, bro.
You're the one you creating yourself. The environment.
So introspection
yeah.
helps you identify your own toxic traits. Mm. And sometimes it will be something the person is doing that is bringing that side out of you. I realize that I can be passive aggressive when I'm not getting something the way I want it done. So you ask your question, like, how are you? Like, oh, I had a really fantastic day. There was nothing fantastic about my day. I'm just pissed, but I'm not able to articulate that in the moment. So I'll just be like passive aggressive towards you. Ask me a question, I'll give you one liners and all of that. I realize that, why am I doing this? This is not who I am. Right? So identifying your personal toxic traits is key.
It's very important.
So always, like we said, when something happens, ask yourself, why am I feeling the way about this? Is this fact or is this feeling? Sort it out through yourself.
With yourself before
first.
You.
Then ask your partner. Every time I've tried this week, do what any mother, pen it down, because niggas be lying or deny.
Deny, yeah.
So ask him. I tried to talk to you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I need to have a conversation with you. And every time I'm trying to talk to you, this is what happens. Why? So that gives them time.
And from a place of not attacking.
Exactly.
When you start a conversation of attacking, then there's
exactly.
a problem.
So ask, that's where grace comes in.
Grace.
This is me trying to understand why you do what you do. So that.
The most annoying thing is when you get the response of, I don't know.
You need to know. If not, I need to know where the exit is and keep it pushing.
Yeah.
Because this is not, you cannot always not know. So that gives you an opportunity to now go and sit with yourself and ask and answer the question, why do I do this when somebody I care about is trying to have a conversation with me?
Yeah, yeah.
Then they have to come back to you, and there's the need to hold people. Sometimes the person doesn't know, honestly, because nobody they've ever dated has ever questioned them.
Yeah.
They just let them do whatever it is they want to do.
Yeah,
but you're setting the tone that if you're going to be with me,
this
is not
the boundaries.
How we do.
Yeah.
We have conversations. We don't throw tantrums. We don't not talk to people.
No,
for
we don't throw tantrums. I throw tantrums and you watch.
Okay. We
here. Don't do that.
Sometimes.
And you say you want peace.
You want peace, but I mean, sometimes you have to stir the waters.
Oh my God.
I really like that, because sometimes, you see, when you're a very peaceful wife or a peaceful girlfriend, your husband forgets that you can be trouble.
Oh,
so
no.
Sometimes you need to show them.
So often, like, you know,
you give them trouble.
And you know that, she hasn't lost it. It's very important.
No, but something just came up for me. I mean, toxic and abusive relationship, they are not always the same. They are not always the same.
That's
you can
true.
Be in a toxic relationship, but it's not abusive.
Yeah.
But every abusive relationship
it's
is toxic.
Toxic
yeah.
Course,
so
yeah.
we
this
need to also
Venn diagram right now.
We have to know those. Know those things. I mean, to know that. I mean, an abusive relationship not necessarily mean it's a toxic relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I'd like to introduce the chairman of this occasion to offer her closing remarks. Ariel.
Who is the chairman?
Is it not you?
Me.
So closing remarks.
No. There's no closing. You, Ariel, do your closing.
She has done
remarks.
This.
She's done it.
Yeah, she has.
Oh, okay. My closing remarks. So for this conversation, I think it's something that a lot of people do experience. I mean, toxic relationship is bound to happen once in almost everybody's life. And it's not necessarily the fault of anybody. We've all gone through things. And I think we should take responsibility of trying to become more self-aware.
Yeah.
Know the things that are bothering us, why we act the
way
we act, why things make us feel the way we feel. Why did I feel like this?
Yeah.
I think a lot of self introspection is needed for us to grow.
Yeah.
We need to grow up.
We need to grow,
we can, and there's room for everybody to grow. So let's not put the work on one person. Let's put the work on ourselves. I want to become a better version of myself so that when someone meets me, I am that person that they want. Not I'm saying the same, looking out for a good person, and then when I go, I am as I am. So put
the
some
only person who accepts you as you are
is yourself.
Jesus.
Yes.
And even that, after he has accepted you,
he will,
you will change.
Exactly.
You. And we are certainly not Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. So
just wanted to make that point.
We need to develop ourselves and make room that there's always place for change and growth.
Yeah.
We can always change and grow.
Always change.
So we are our best self. But if you've been in a toxic relationship and you're for sure knowing it's a toxic relationship, make time and see someone for
someone
help.
Before
you go into another relationship, because the dynamics, we haven't been able to delve into them, because there are different types of even toxic relationships.
I mean, the show was not really
Oh, no, I get it.
It was supposed to be, you know, kind of the bridge between coming out of
and yes, and going yes. Into, so you need support to understand what you've gone through, some of the things you even experienced. If you've been able to now come out,
yeah,
you will go through certain stages. Until you start rushing into another, there are things you need to do
yeah.
prepare to heal properly, psychologically, emotionally, even physically. You might have picked some disease on the way. So you need to work on all that. Oh, yes, right, you have.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to add that healing is not linear. It's not a straight line.
No.
And also, healing almost never ends. So you may do the therapy and all of that and get into a great relationship.
But you have to
keep that self-awareness level, because love can trigger you sometimes.
Yeah.
Somebody just being loving, just being kind.
Why are you being so nice to me?
You know, can trigger things in you.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the how, you know, it's like a gauge of how healed you are.
You are.
How you can recognize. I do that sometimes. Somebody does something, I see the trigger, I'm like, I see you. But it's not gonna work, you know, because so just
awareness
to say
is,
that,
is
just
is
to
key.
Say that, you know, even in your new relationship after therapy and all of that, just be aware that
something
healing
will come.
Healing is
we are always a work in progress. Always a work in progress. Yeah. You can't finish the work.
Yeah. I mean, Dinah Hamilton said it so.
Yeah.
Can't finish.
Something about work in progress.
Feel free to slide into our DMs if you need us to recommend some good therapist counselors. We have Ariel here. I know some good people. So.
I think what Ariel is saying is that she's single. Feel free to slide into
our DMs. I am not
Ariel. She can therapize you and you will be. Anyway, this is Strong and Sassy. The views expressed here are not necessarily the views of Multimedia Ghana Limited. These are our own views. So, yeah. Anyway, handing over to Faustina, bringing up the news at 8 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been Aram and Ariel. My name's Enima Enimado. Check out The Secret Life of Adults, please, on YouTube, TikTok, everywhere. And we'll see you again next week, Wednesday. Next week, Wednesday, is March.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be here.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Stay safe out there. Thank you to the producers. You guys are amazing. Good night.